Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.'" It was the great neuroscientist V.S. Ramachandran who I revisited this last week in preparations for Pathways this morning that made an extraordinary breakthrough on phantom limbs about two decades ago. A phantom limb, some of you may or may not know, is when an arm or leg is amputated as a result of an accident or a disease, gangrene, and though being gone, the patient continues to vividly feel the presence of that same missing arm or leg, because the nerves once supplying the arm feel like, while severed, the arm is still there, thus signaling back to the brain that there is an arm, though it is a phantom. And many who've lost an arm or leg have a vivid sensory experience that they can actually move the phantom as if it were in its original form. The brain sends the same commands to the arm to move, and the phantom moves. Well, in others, it's not so much the case. The phantom will not be mobile and will offer the sensation of being perpetually fixed in or clamped in a paralyzed position, thus becoming very painful and agonizing over time, because the brain isn't able to move the arm because it's not receiving the visual feedback it needs to do so, to make that move. There's nothing there. So there's a learned paralysis. Patients, therefore, with this notion of the phantom limb clamped in its sort of spasmic spot, have this overwhelming feeling that if they could just move the phantom just a little bit, then they'd feel a lot better. But how do you move something that's not there? How do you move something that the brain can't see? How do you, in Ramachandran's words, unlearn the paralysis and relieve the clenching spasm? Well, here's the brilliance of the breakthrough. Ramachandran developed something so brilliant and so simple that it's somewhat staggering. He realized that if he could re-engage a phantom limb via visual feedback, then the patient might be able to move a phantom limb out of the grips of pain and into a place of comfort. So one day, he went down to a dollar store, and for couple bucks, he bought a mirror and he created a virtual reality mirror box with a mirror running down the center of a cardboard box with two holes on either side of the mirror. And then he asked his first patient, a man who'd been in a motorcycle accident, who'd suffered with a phantom limb clenched in the same spot for 10 years, to come in. And he asked the man to put his phantom arm inside the left hole of the mirror box. And then he asked him to put his normal hand in the right hole on the right side of the mirror. And the patient did so. And then Ramachandran asked the man if he'd put his normal hand in the position of the clenched phantom hand, the imagined phantom hand. And then he asked the patient to look inside the box on the side of the mirror. But what did the patient see? Well, he saw a mere reflection of his good hand in the position of his phantom. Virtual reality, right? Or in Christian terms, resurrection. And all of a sudden, his phantom is back, because he's looking at the reflection of his good hand being reflected where the phantom ought to be. And thus he can move his normal hand, of course, around. And while he's looking at the mirror, he's receiving the visual signals his brain needs so that he can unclench the phantom hand. He wiggles his normal hand, and the phantom opens and wiggles and unclenches. Over time, Ramachandran had his patients work with the mirror box, and he found they were able to unlearn their paralysis and eventually make the phantom disappear altogether, or in Christian terms, ascend away. Well, why am I telling you about this complicated medical breakthrough? Well, in the same way that the Pharisees are telling Jesus about Herod, Jesus, like Ramachandran, is telling that fox or that phantom to go away. Jesus experiences Herod like a phantom. Herod exists to him as a clever, conniving spasm of concern. He's not there, but he is there. And so he essentially holds a mirror up to Herod. He names the phantom and he tells the Pharisees, hey, tell that fox I'm going to keep doing what I'm good at doing. I'm going to keep healing and I'm going to keep curing for today and tomorrow and the days to come. Jesus, in short, takes this existential and physical threat to his being and he holds a mirror up to it, calls it what it is, names it, and then he removes it from his environment. Exactly what he did with the devil last week, moving the devil around in the desert. He takes the phantom, the devil, the cunning fox, and he shelves him so that he can go forth to do the work that he's called toward. He looks in the mirror of his soul and essentially removes the phantom so that he can live, so that he can eventually resurrect and eventually ascend. It's a curious expression in the Bible. I wager that, you know, if I'd asked you this morning if Jesus says something like, go tell that fox to take a hike, that you wouldn't have thought that to be biblical. It's curious. It's a curious learning. And whether we have an actual phantom limb or not, we all have elements of ourselves, our internal viscera, our external identity, our ego, our consciousness, our dreams that cause us to clench and spasm, right? There are points of us that, as well, we set aside as quote-unquote learned paralysis about ourselves, things that are supposedly immovable, certain relationships that get frozen into a clamp, certain elements of our self that never advance, certain areas of our maturity that are stunted, and they cause us great harm. But wouldn't it be great to be able to move some of those things within ourselves that we thought we would never be able to move again? Wouldn't it be sensational or sensory spectacular to suddenly be able to move something that has hindered you for decades or become such a strong phantom force in your life that it nags you perpetually? Well, we may not have a virtual reality mirror box in the sanctuary this morning, though it wouldn't be that hard to get one. But we do have the teachings of God at our fingertips. And if there was ever a mirror into the mind and the soul, it's the teachings of Jesus, which can unlock a clenched soul, a self in spasm, a locked psyche. Jesus tells that fox to take a hike, which is permission for us to tell the phantoms of our lives to go and do likewise. And when we do, well, we can go back to the things we're good at, which is curing people and casting away things that hurt us and others today and tomorrow and for all the days to come. Like just about everyone, I was sickened by what happened in New Zealand over the weekend. Like so many of us, I found it really difficult to engage in the news. Admittedly, I'll say this morning, it's hard after all these copycat, extremist, violent happenings, the numbing replication of them, not to become somewhat frozen like a phantom limb, whereby you can't move or you feel completely stuck because you've received no visual feedback that anything's ever changed. over an extended period of time. You look desperately for something to correct a visual field into which one might see some change or progress, a refraction of hope, but alas, more ghouls and ghosts. Lent, however, is the great corrector to not becoming complacent with the phantoms in our lives and in our culture. We can hold a mirror up to things that pull us away from ourselves, away from hope, away from peace, away from inclusion, and we can see within that reflection the opportunity to be something more. Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.'" We ought to all go and do likewise. Incidentally, V.S. Ramachandran didn't win a Nobel Prize for his mirror box breakthrough. In fact, he jokes that there's no way you could win a Nobel with a shoebox and a mirror. But for real, that dude resurrected arms and legs with such a simple move. And Jesus, you remember, was homeless, Scripture says. He didn't have even a box or a mirror, and yet he did the same. He resurrected people to new life. And so it is with us. We can do the same. We just have to push away the phantoms and the foxes. We don't have to start what's that company that went bunk? Theranos. We don't need to sort of develop Theranos or develop some supposedly world-changing app. We don't need a million-dollar machine. We don't even need to override the machine. We just need a shoebox and a mirror, or in Christian terms, a Bible and a prayer. And the soul and the self will release. It'll release itself from fears and from clenching and move to resurrection and eventual ascension. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.